All right, Leviticus chapter 26. I don't think we'll be long tonight, and we're looking forward to going out to eat with the teenagers. I'm looking for the teenagers to all get here, amen? So see what happens. And here we are. Now, the Lord was speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai. Look at back to chapter 25. Chapter 25 and verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, matter of fact, if you look through the book of Leviticus, don't do it while I'm preaching, but wait till you get home. Most of the chapters, or a lot of them, start with, and the Lord spake unto Moses. Now, not in particular in Mount Sinai, but here he's having a one-on-one conversation with Moses on Mount Sinai. And if you look at chapter 27, the last verse, these are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. So it kind of is a bookend here. And we're in the middle, chapter number 26. So he begins this particular conversation in chapter 25, verse number 1. And he finishes it at the end of the book of Leviticus. Now, chapter 26 starts out with the Lord promising his blessing upon his people because of their obedience to him. God wants to bless his people, and he certainly wants us to obey him. And so chapter 26 begins that, and it's a pretty encouraging chapter till you get to verse 14. Let's look at the first 13 verses. Ye shall make no idols, nor graven images, neither rear up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary, I am the Lord. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Do you see the if and then? It's conditional. God said, I want you to do this. If you do this, then I will do that. If you obey, I'll send you rain. If you obey, I'll bless your field and the fruit of your field. God said it's conditional. If, then. And, verse 5, your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. What he's saying is, you're going to have enough food for the year, and you're going to have enough seed to plant your crops next year. That's what he's talking about, the vintage, and he's talking about the threshing. What you thresh, are you going to be able to keep to eat? Are you going to have seed for the next year? You're not going to be scrounging for how are we going to plant the crop next year? We had to eat everything that we had. You know, a lot of things that we eat are seeds, right? And you plant them again, even potatoes, right? Corn, wheat, all those things. You make it into food, and then you have to save some to plant. God said, I'm going to make sure you have plenty of food if you obey. Verse number, I'll give you safety. I'll protect you. You'll dwell on your land safely. Verse 5. And I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And five of you shall chase 100. That's pretty good odds, right? That's like 20%, right? And he said, you're gonna have a great opportunity here to vanquish your enemies. And you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword, for I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And you shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. He said, you got plenty of food. There's going to be all kinds of food. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bonds of your yoke, and made you go upright. So God's speaking to the children of Israel, and he tells them about their past. He tells them about their future. He gives them some promises. And he says, if you do this, I will do that. If you obey me, I'll make sure that you get the rain that you need. If you obey me, I'll make sure that you have the fruit and the crops and the produce that you need. You'll have plenty of food. You'll have plenty of seeds. You'll have an overabundance. You'll have peace. You'll have your enemies will be chased. There won't be a sword coming in your land. I'm going to protect your country from being attacked. You'll chase everybody away. You're going to have a wonderful blessing in the land of Israel. So God's speaking to his people here. And the Lord spends almost the rest of the chapter on the opposite, which is actually longer than the first part of the chapter. So the part that we read in verse 14 through 16 begins the flip side of the coin, if you would. God said, if you obey, I will bless you. And then he flips it over and he says, but if you disobey, I will cause you all kinds of heap big trouble. That's what the Indians say, right? You can still say that, right? I will cause you heap big trouble. You're going to have judgment. It's not going to be good. It's going to be horrible. The Lord delights in blessing his people. But he does have, look if you would, at verse number 15. And if ye despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my commandments, my covenant, I also will do this unto you. God has blessings if we obey, but God also has the judgment if we disobey. If ye will not, I also will. Wouldn't you rather enjoy the benefits and blessing rather than the punishment and pain? I mean, parenting is the same way, right? Children grow up and we train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we certainly want them to obey, and that we give them guidelines, and we give them things, expectations, and we teach them and train them. And we want them to do the right thing. And we say, look, if you do the right thing, it's going to be a great situation, right? I'm going to be a happy father. You're going to be a happy child. We're not going to have any problems. If you don't, okay, then here are the consequences. I mean, everything. I mean, that happens at work. That happens when you're driving down the road, right? And so all the different things in life are that way. And certainly with God, he wants us to enjoy the benefits and the blessing rather than the punishment and the pain. Now we see a cycle of discipline as we read the end of chapter 26 of Leviticus. We see a cycle of discipline. If ye will not, I also will. Now remember, it's because of disobeying verse 14 and verse number 15. But if ye will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. Now, this is an interesting thing. As we see this, we're not the nation of Israel. We certainly are not. We are not no comparison at all. But I do find that the way God judges people is very similar. And the judgment that God brings to one nation is very similar to the judgment God brings to another nation. I don't think we're in a time of prosperity. I don't think we're in a time of, hail, hail, the gang's all here. This is fantastic. We're going in the right direction. Now, I see some very interesting parallels here. I'm going to point them out to you, and you can find them right here in this chapter. The first thing that we find, God says, I'm going to bring to you, if you despise my statutes, God's word, if you don't hear my commandments, if you don't obey me, and you break my covenant, verse 16, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint unto you, what's the first word? Terror. Well, we have a whole bunch of terror that we've experienced in our country. The terrorist attack on 9/11, right? We have the war on terror. I mean, we've sacrificed the lives of thousands of our brave American citizens. Some of you have had to, unfortunately, be there and fight that, and thank you for that. But we've had a war on terror. We have terrorist alerts. We have, different things at the airport. There are people with terror watch lists, right? We have these things, and it's nothing, many of us have just kind of grown up with that for the last many years. But God says, I will appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague. Now, you didn't know how to say that, neither did I, so I looked it up before I preached the amen. Ague, that's a great word, hard to pronounce, but a horrible word, actually. And that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, and your enemies shall eat it. So let's look at this first thing. God said, I'm going to give you terror. I'm going to give you consumption. Now, the idea of consumption as a disease, the burning ague, okay? When you think of consumption, you think of just wasting away. You think of something that's eating you up physically. It's destroying your body. As a disease, the burning ague is known as pulmonary tuberculosis. Pulmonary tuberculosis. And it's a bacterial infection. And so God said to the nation of Israel, I'm going to send you something as small as a bacteria. Look, we all know how much damage a little virus can do, right? I mean, you can't even see it. and I think we're way too well acquainted with the last 2 years. But God said, this is part of my judgment. I'm going to send you something microscopic. You can't even see it. I created it, and I'm just going to turn it loose on you. Oh, I see some interesting thoughts with that. If you think about consumption, okay, the consumption of anything. I went home today and I had some time of consumption. It was called lunch, right? And my car was driving around and there was a lot of consumption and I had to put more gas in it, right? They're limiting diesel fuel now. In Manchester, you can buy $99 worth of diesel fuel and then the pump stops. That's consumption. That's interesting, isn't it? And I said that last Sunday about diesel fuel, and it was prophetic. Monday morning, they said we had 25 days worth in the country. Now, I don't know. That's interesting. Now, in an economic definition, consumption, if you look it up in economics, it is the use of goods or services. The use of goods or services. Now, as a judgment, when God says, I'm going to send upon you consumption, he's talking about the burning ague, he's talking about a bacterial infection, pulmonary tuberculosis. But as a judgment, it could also be you're using things up and not replacing them. You're using things up and you're not able to replace them. Now, we have some of that going on. I'm not going to just keep drawing these. You can connect the dots yourself. I'm going to stop connecting them. And I'm just going to look at this scripture here. Now, the burning ague, a violent fever, your eyes are consumed, he mentions it, a loss of health, sorrow of heart. What is the sorrow of heart caused by? It's discouragement over broken health. And God said, I can bring little microscopic things like a bacteria, and he says, I'm going to cause you sorrow of heart because you can't make yourself better again. You have broken health. You're going to sow your seed in vain. That's what he said here in verse number 16, you'll sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. There'll be a decline in agricultural prosperity. So God brought this upon the nation of Israel. And they that hate you, look what it says, verse number 17. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. Okay, so I've just got five things here that God did to the nation of Israel, and they happened in succession. The first one happened. Then they kept on disobeying God. The second one happened. The third one, the fourth one, and then finally the fifth one. They that hate you, there's a loss of personal freedoms. They that hate you shall rule over you. They didn't like the foreign invaders. They didn't like the corruption that they had to face. But they were subjected to the rules from those that hated them. Notice verse 17. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. Death in combat. That's what he was talking about. You shall flee when none pursueth you. Here's fear all around. There's going to be great fear. Number two, the second big thing. So the first thing here that God said is, I'm going to do this because of your disobedience and all these things that he mentions. The second step of God's judgment is in verse number 18 through verse number 20. So these are sections. And if you will not yet for all this. So God said, here's the first judgment. Boom. And if that doesn't get your attention, he says, then the other shoe is going to drop. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. So God said the second step is there's going to be an economic recession. The trees of the land will not yield their fruits. He said, I'm going to bring this. I'm going to break the pride of your power. I'm going to cause depression. Their pride and their power would be broken. He said the heavens would be as iron and the earth as brass. What does it mean when the heavens are iron? Well, it could mean there's no answered prayer. You come to God and you say, dear God, we've done wrong. Can you fix this? And God says, you know, your prayers are just going to go up to heaven and they're going to bounce off because I'm not. I already told you. I already warned you and you didn't obey me. So the heavens will be as brass. Maybe heavens would be as iron. Maybe the brass of the earth, hard, unyielding, dry, unfruitfulness. You know, there are some countries in the world where they really don't grow much. I was listening to the book of Isaiah yesterday. I was working on a project, and so I had the Bible going on my phone. And God said the country of Babylon is going to be cursed, and nothing's going to grow there. You know, you think about that area of the world that's very arid. There's desert there, right? There's sand. You couldn't plant a garden there. It'd be hard. You'd have to have everything irrigated. You have to bring in new soil. And you have to irrigate everything. It just doesn't grow. You know, there are some countries that they export oil, right? But they certainly don't export wheat. They don't export corn. They don't export food. They can't grow it. They have to import all their food because nothing grows. It's a desert. It's hot. It's you know, like Kuwait. Think about what grows in Kuwait. Nothing. Furnaces. Just blasting heat. It's impossible for something to grow. And, you know, we have been so blessed here. We produce food. We grow things. We throw food away. And God says, you know, if you disobey me, I'm going to make sure your earth is as brass, hard, unyielding, dry, unfruitful. This is the second step of God's judgment upon Israel. Economic recession, depression, the pride of their power would be broken. Their heavens would be as iron and their earth would be as brass. The third step of God's judgment. So God said, if that doesn't get your attention, then I'm going to cause the third thing to happen. Verse 21. And if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, boy, stubborn people, these people, and this happened to these people. I will bring seven more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if you will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. Now I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. Wild beasts would be among you, God said, which would rob you of your children. You know, when I think about that, first thing that we go to is the wild beast, the four-legged kind, right? Of course, the four-legged kind of beast would come and they would destroy the children. But what about two-legged predators? There are wild beasts in our cities today that are robbing us of our children. They're robbing us of our children with drugs. You know, I heard a man yesterday. He's running for office in Massachusetts. He's an attorney. Seems like a good man. And he said, you know, 2-3 years ago, he said the drug overdoses in Massachusetts killed 500 people. Last year, it took 4,500 lives in Massachusetts. And he said, one of them was my son. And he said, that's why I'm passionate about fighting this thing of drugs and helping people. He said he was dealing with some people. I can't remember if it was in a jail or a shelter. And he asked every single one of them, why are you here? Why did your life turn out so miserable? What's the problem? Every single one of them said because of drug addiction. He talked to one man. He said, I was a successful plumber. And he said, now my life is ruined and I have to start all over again. And he's talking about the treatment programs. He said the government treatment programs, this is what he said, were 99% ineffective. The private ones were 85% effective, but they can't get funding through insurance. Now, that was his thing that he was working on. That was his plank and his platform. But I was just thinking about our children who are dying. Our young people, a whole generation, the life expectancy in America has gone down in the last couple of years. I pulled into the church parking lot on Friday, backed up the car, got out, went to get something out of the trunk, and there's a needle on the ground, and there's a tourniquet over by the mailbox, and people are shooting up drugs right here in the church parking lot on a daily basis. You know, it's kind of like the opium wars of a century plus ago. A whole country and countries have been decimated by their enemies, by them introducing drugs to their enemies. And wiping out, and look, how many billions of dollars are spent trying to fight the drug problem that we have in America? How many billions of problems? Our inner cities are turned into homeless encampments, and it's sad. And, you know, we're not slapping at people like that. We had some of our men this afternoon, who went out reaching out to the homeless people, as they do, I think, every Sunday, and bringing them food and giving them the gospel. But it's so sad to see what's happening. Wild beasts are destroying our children, destroying our families, and destroying, wrecking homes and ruining lives. And how many billions of dollars do we spend warehousing people after they blow out their mind and after they ruin their health and they commit crimes, and the crimes that are committed tie up all of our resources, rob their children through violence. The Bible says in that verse that the people in the city would be few in number. It said in verse number 20, how many? Number 22. Now also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. What's that talking about? Your highways would be desolate because nobody's on the highways. They'd have these roads they didn't have cars. Of course, they had things they rode on, horses, donkeys, they would walk. And your highways would be desolate. Why? Because nobody's traveling. Remember the Good Samaritan? The man's traveling from Jericho, Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he's beaten, he's robbed, and he's left for dead. A priest comes by, he passes by. I don't want that to happen to me. He passes by on the other side. A Levite comes down, he passes by on the other side. Finally, a man at the peril of his own life stops and assists this man and saves his life and brings him to an inn and pays the price. The Bible says here that your highways would be desolate. Why? Violence. Lack of law and order. We see that in our cities. Our cities have become unsafe. I mentioned this morning, I drove down South Willow Street probably three times yesterday, back and forth. And somebody, for whatever reason, I don't even know, and they caught the person who did that already, 12 hours. That's good police work. We need to pray for our police chief. He's a good man. We need to pray for our sheriff. He's a good man. We need to pray for those who serve and protect our community, because they're doing a great job. They're doing a great job. And so, how does it get to the point where whatever happens, doesn't matter what happens, somebody cuts you off in traffic, somebody honks their horn at you, whatever it is, and you just get so angry that you take a gun and you shoot somebody and you kill them. And, you know, what do you think? 22 years old now, and that's his life. But are we reaching them with the gospel? Are we reaching them with the word of God? What would happen if that 22-year-old had come to Sunday school maybe and heard about Jesus and gotten saved and had, like some of these young people down here, like some of the young men that you prayed with this morning, Brother Eric, like some of the people you teach in your class and train in junior church. What if he had come to church and heard Jesus loves me, this I know, and had Christ in his heart? And that hatred wouldn't be there. But the hatred that comes into somebody's life, life is so cheap. And people are so, they just don't even think about what they're doing. They're just violent. Is this a judgment of God upon a generation when violence becomes normal and our cities are unsafe? The fourth step in God's judgment is continued on in verse number 23. And if you will not be reformed by me by these things, the first three steps, God said, we'll just keep going. But walk contrary unto me. Then will I also walk contrary unto you and punish you yet seven times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you are gathered together within your cities, people gather in a city because they're safer there, because there's power in numbers. And God says, when you gather together in your cities, I will send the pestilence among you. And you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. When I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. The fifth step, fourth step of God's judgment is military conquest or foreign occupation. That's what God said was going to happen to the nation of Israel. There's going to be a military conquest against you, and you're going to be in, foreign invaders are going to come into your country, and they're going to occupy your country. There'll be pestilence. What is that? Disease. There's going to be sickness that you can't control. Food is in short supply. As a matter of fact, it said 1/10. 10 women shall bake your bread. It's going to take 10 women to bake enough bread for you to get a sufficient amount to eat. It's going to be reduced by 90%. Food is in short supply. Also, 10 women in a house. Here is an idea of the breakup of the family. The breakup of the family. Now, we could go through statistics from the 40s and the 50s in recent memory, and we could show, you know, the family unit, the nuclear family, and, you know, the father, the mother, the children. Don't we see the breakup of the family today? We see the family being accosted on every side. We see all kinds of, hideous things happening to our families and to marriage and to the sanctity of the home. God said, you know what? If you will deny me, if you'll deny my word and you'll deny my covenants, then I will cause the family to be broken up. That is the stability, the cornerstone of society. The fifth step of God's judgment in verse 27 through verse 39. And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sins. And you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. And I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. And I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation. And your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen and will draw out a sword after you. And your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths as long as it lieth desolate, and ye shall be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when ye dwelt upon it. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts and the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a shaking leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. And they shall fall one upon another, as it were before a sword, when none pursueth. And you shall have no power to stand before your enemies, and you shall perish among the heathen. And the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands, and also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. The fifth step of God's judgment is the destruction of a nation. Didn't this happen to Israel? Now, God's warning them. God told Moses on Mount Sinai, before he dies on Mount Nebo, before Joshua leads the children of Israel across the Jordan River into the Promised Land, God is looking out 490 more years into the future, and he said, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you how to avoid it, God said in the first 13 verses. And then God said, but this is why the judgment is going to come if you disobey me. And these five steps led to the destruction of the nation of Israel. You remember the book of Daniel? Daniel wasn't in Israel when he wrote the book of Daniel. He was in Babylon. He was Belteshazzar. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were renamed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why? They were in Babylon, the fiery furnace, the image of gold. That was Nebuchadnezzar. So this exactly did happen to these people. The temple was destroyed. The city of Jerusalem was ransacked and destroyed. The people were killed and carried away, prisoners of war. Judah went into captivity. Israel went into captivity. And we have Ezekiel writing by the river of Chebar, and he's writing in captivity to the remnant that was still there. Jeremiah writes and tells them that it's just on the cusp, it's on the edge. They put him in a dungeon. They don't want to hear it. Isaiah preaches, this is it. This is the final chance. They saw him in half with a saw. And finally, God said, okay, it's over. They're eating their own children. Now you can read about this. For further reading on Israel's fifth step, you can look at this in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, we find these steps. And then in verse 49, it begins the final step. Don't look at it tonight. Look at it when you get home. Final reading, Deuteronomy 28. Now, in conclusion, okay, that could be a little discouraging, a little disheartening. All right. So here's a couple of thoughts. Let me give you four. Number one, the things that the Lord wanted his people to do before, he still wants his people to do today. God said, I want you to heed my commands. I want you to follow my statutes. I want you to obey my word. I want you to do what I say. Now, I can't do anything about everybody else, but I can do everything about me. I can say, okay, I'm not going to be on the flip side of that coin myself. I'm going to be on the right side of that. I want to hear. I want to obey. I want to follow your statutes. Number one, the things that the Lord wanted his people to do before, he still wants his people to do today. God hasn't changed. God hasn't diminished his commandments at all. So he wants us to do those things. Number two, the things that the Lord punished before, he will still punish today. I am God. I change not. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. With him is no variableness, either shadow or turning. So the things that the Lord punished before, he will still punish today. Number three, while we are not Israel, and we do not have a covenant relationship, you can see many patterns here today that are similar. We're not Israel. We're not the next Israel. You know, there's some people, oh yeah, we're from the tribes and all these crazy things. That's just craziness, all right? We're not Israel. We're not the covenant relationship that he had with that one nation. But you do see many patterns and many parallels that are similar. Number four, as individuals, look at verse number three. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and on and on and on. As individuals, we need to obey verse number three. As a church, you know, church is made up of many individuals. As a church, we need to teach others to obey verse number three. We need to teach others. Teach them when they're young. Teach them when they're little. Teach them when they're children. Teach them when they can talk. Teach them when they can walk. Now, listen, there's a lot of people that should be in church consistently and faithfully. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to fool around and they're going to not teach their children to be consistent. And 10 years from now and 20 years from now, their children are not going to be walking with God. Children do not do what you tell them to do. They model what you show them to do. If you push them and you don't do something yourself, they're going to rebel against you. So we need to model and we need to mentor our children and others and teach them and train them and consistently. Look, it's a lot of work. It's not easy. It's not fun. It's not convenient, but it's right. As individuals, we need to obey. Verse number three, obey God. And teach others to obey him.